Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jay, in highest praise. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, for everyone present this morning. It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. As we were in prayer, I heard the Lord say that He is answering the questions of your heart. That some of you came in this morning with questions in your heart. You've been asking God. And the Lord said He's clarifying some things for you. And open up your ears to hear what Jesus is saying this morning. Because He wants to answer you. Hallelujah. And He's the guy with the information. Amen. He knows it all, the end from the beginning. So, Lord, we thank you for revelation and understanding and words of knowledge today. We need the knowledge that comes from above to maneuver through this life. Amen. So let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Hallelujah. And we are so honored to have Elder Sylvia's new twin great-granddaughters with us this morning. Could you just stand up and show the congregation how beautiful these two little ones are? Yes. Oh, Lord bless them. Oh, we've got to get a picture here. Lord bless these children. Thank you, Lord, for their lives. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that they're in the house of the Lord today. Bless their mama, Lord. Yes, hallelujah, double blessing. And it's good to see everyone else. Welcome to the River of Life, and welcome to those who are listening on the internet. We are so glad you've joined us today. And this is a special time for us, and I'm just going to move right into introducing our speaker for this morning. This is Benjamin Lihu and his wife Jessica and family. And Ben is a young, energetic pastor who is passionate about equipping individuals and families to break free from debilitating habits and empowering them for success. Ben has been married to his wife Jessica for 14 years and is the father of four amazing children. Look at these amazing children. Is it Ava? Ava, Zoe, Maya, and Lincoln. And I found out this morning that Lincoln has a birthday this month. Oh, yes. So it's wonderful to have them with us this morning. And they are amazing children. And they have been in Jessica. They've been in full-time ministry together for 15 years. And in senior leadership for 10 years. And currently, Benjamin and Jessica are the founders and directors of Narrow Gate Ministries, serving individuals struggling with addiction. Also, they are now the division directors of Live the Life Ministries in the Great Lakes region. And this is a ministry focused on strengthening marriages and families. So at this time, let's give Pastor Ben a warm welcome from the River of Life. Come on up, Pastor Ben.
Well, praise the Lord, church. It's a good day to be alive. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, in spite of everything that the enemy would want to throw at us and curveballs and life and everything else, it's a good day to be alive, and it's a good day to love Jesus. Amen? Well, hey, we're going to pray. We're going to get in the Word of God today, and I just want to say thank you to Dr. Janet for the opportunity to come and release the Word of the Lord and to be with you this morning. So let's pray. Father, we love you today. God, and we thank you, Lord, for revival in the Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, for deep down on the inside of us, Father, that river of living water, God, would well up, Father, and overflow, God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the overflow of the Spirit today on the inside. Father, we refuse to shrink back. Father, we refuse to give in. Lord, today we're going through today, God. And Father, we're entering into that secret place. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we'll just hang out in this place with you for a while. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, that you've given us ears in the Spirit, Father, to hear. Praise you, Jesus. And Father, eyes to see clearly. And Father, we know that you're releasing, Father, insight and wisdom and revelation in this hour. Lord, we're thankful, God, that we are partakers of your truth. Father, we're thankful that we are the remnant. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Could we just begin to pray out together? Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we're thankful, Lord, at the name of Jesus, those demons shudder and flee. Thank you, Lord. And Father, by the authority you've given us in Jesus' name, we speak to the demons, shudder and flee in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, church, I still consider myself young. I like to, anyways. I turned 39. I know. You've been there, huh? Yeah, it's strange when you start getting a little older, and I'll lay that claim. I'm getting a little older. You just kind of get to that place where you don't have time for folly. Don't have time for games. You guys know that? Boy, when you get that in the spirit, that I just don't have time for it. I don't have time for demonic influence and manipulations and all of these other things that the enemy just constant, isn't he? He's like that little yipping dog, the ankle biter. He just... Boy... I get tired of it. God's been shifting my wife and I, and we've been in a great season of transition this last year. And I want to share a little bit with you what God's been doing in our life. And did we get the PowerPoint presentation pulled up here? God's been transitioning us. We pastored Simple Truth Church for 10 years, and God's been shifting and moving. Not our anointing, not our call, but our focus. And so our focus now is on strength, specifically on strengthening marriages and families. And we've connected with a group that we've been friends with for probably 7 years now. They have a phenomenal ministry called Live the Life. The headquarters is Tallahassee, Florida. They have 5 locations in the Florida region. They're doing a new location in California. They're doing, and now we're the newest location in the Great Lakes region. And the focus is to strengthen marriage and families, but to do it in a very interactive and a very intense way. And I want to say this, that it's never too early or too late to invest in your marriage. Amen? Some of the classes and the things that we offer, one, the most popular, is called Adventures in Marriage. This is for good marriages that want to be better, to strengthen that. And my wife and I know firsthand that we have to be intentional on making investments in our relationship. One of the others are Family Frontiers, which is a family program to strengthen the whole family. And my personal favorite is Hope Weekend. This is for the struggling marriage, for those that have maybe even already filed for divorce or experiencing separation. It's an amazing program, and we love to see the transformation that takes place. We have a Hope Weekend coming up, September 18th through the 20th, and God has a sense of humor in this transition I go, man, it sounded great out of the gates, and we get going with this whole thing, and then we experience a pandemic right after the start, and I go, God, what were you thinking that we're starting a brand new location of this ministry in the middle of a pandemic? So we're going to be practicing extreme social distancing and masks, and I have a 12,000 square foot facility that there's plenty of distance, plenty of room for everyone, but we have a table out in the entry area that my wife will be at after the, and possibly I will be at after the meeting. But if you're interested in learning more about that, I want to encourage you to do that. I have a lot more I could share on that, but that's not really the reason I'm here today. God has called us, called me specifically to release a word to you, and I want to do that. Dr. Janet, as you were releasing about questions that are unanswered, God was ministering that same thing to me as we were in prayer. And it seems that there's not only a transition in America as far as what we're experiencing on a day-to-day basis with this pandemic and the political climate and all the different changes that are happening, but it seems like God is doing a transition in the spirit. Amen? That there are some things shifting and breaking loose in the spirit, that it's not a setback. God wants to tell you that it's a setup. Amen? And so God is setting you up for this revival that's going to be released in the earth. And this is my declaration for my own life, is that I'm not going to go under, I'm not going to go over, but I'm going to go through. Amen? And I'm going to go through on my knees, and I'm going to go through praying in the spirit, and I'm going to go through with joy. Amen? And so that's where God is calling us to take a look at this opposition and say we're gonna get through this. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going through. And the questions that we have, usually when life changes and things are radical, we start to have questions. God, what are you doing? God, what's going on? And then when you're losing a job or you're different things that you're facing, you start to have these internal questions. And a lot of times, what my experience is that they're almost subconscious. They're not right at the forefront of my mind. It's not something I'm asking individuals. I might not even think of it in prayer, but there's these questions that are going on the inside of me. And, you know, when you dig into Scripture and you're looking at the Old Testament definition and the New Testament definition of sin, there's a great link to aimlessly wandering. Aimlessly wandering. That sounds like a soul with questions. Amen? God wants to answer those questions. And how many know when God speaks, peace enters the soul? Amen? If you have a Bible, grab it. Well, turn with me to the book of Genesis in the first chapter. Praise you, Jesus. Iyagabashindiasi. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. What God created in the very first moments of creation was without form, it was void, and hear this, it was covered with darkness. We don't think of God specifically in that context. We like to think about the God of light in Revelation. But know that the same God that created the light also created the darkness. When we're sitting in that place with questions, your soul is searching, you're in the dark. Amen? The Spirit of God is hovering over the deep. Now, understand the creation account that God very quickly steps in and says, let there be light. Now, we are created in the image of God. Many of you have read I hope all of you have read the creation account. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And catch this, verse 26, and let them have dominion. Say dominion. Dominion. And what did God give us dominion over? Everything. 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 And the same creative nature of our Father in heaven, God has echoed in us because we are made in His image and in His likeness. I'd like to have been there in that first creation account when God says, here's all the animals, now go name them. Wouldn't that have been so much fun? I would have liked to have had the family for that. Like, let's sit down. What is that thing? Let's call him Jumpy Squirrel.
Yeah.
You know?
Chipmunk.
No. Yeah, we go through and name them. But I think about the creative liberty that God gave man.
Yeah.
Name it whatever you want. Have fun with it. As our souls are in that place, and, you know, I'll say this. I think the sense that I have in the room is that you're strong in the faith. You're strong in the faith. But I know personally what I've walked through, I can be strong in the faith and still have some aimless wandering. Amen? I can still be in the dark on some stuff that I don't want to be in the dark on. And if I'm not honest with myself, I can keep that compartmentalized over here and let it agitate me. Let it create anxieties and fears and different things. Now I'm having an emotional reaction in these other areas of my life because I haven't tended to the darkness. God's given you dominion today and authority to say, let there be light. Amen? Let there be light. I love how the scripture says it's not let there be light and then this happened and that happened and these other things and we had to have this formula and this recipe for the... It says, let there be light, and there was light. And there was light. Look at your neighbor and say, let there be light. The title of the message this morning is Major Order. And what I personally have been guilty of, and I think all of us are, is majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. Amen?
Yes.
We tend to focus on these things that aren't quite as important. And I'll tell you, being a pastor and hanging out with lots of other pastors, a lot of the things that pastors and Christians are passionate about are minor. We want to get on these big debates about eschatology. These big debates about Arminianism and Calvinism. There's some importance there. You need to know what you believe and why. But at the end of the day, there's secondary doctrine. Secondary theology, amen? Why is it the more that we learn about Scripture, the more we have this tendency to major in the minors? And to begin to split hairs, and we find all these separations, and now this denomination can't hang out with this denomination, and these people can't go here, and all these different things. What if we majored in Jesus? What if we majored in love? What if we majored in the power, the resurrection power of Christ being made available? Creation account, God brought order to the chaos. Amen? Order to the chaos. It's the, in my evaluation, one of the first major doctrines we see in Scripture. That God brings order to the chaos. Catch this, God created the chaos and then brought order to the chaos. You see it echoed throughout Scripture.
Yes.
I think of that story when God allowed a plant to grow to give a man shade. And then He created a worm to eat the plant that gave him shade.
Oops.
Doesn't that ever mess you up when you read that? And I go, wait a minute, God, you just created the shade so he can get some rest. Now you're creating a worm to eat the shade, to agitate him, to get him up and get him going where he needs to go.
Right. Come on.
I think we give too much credit to the devil. I'll say this, you've given too much credit to the devil. Chaos, darkness. Who created that? Can I mess with your theology a little bit? Who created that? Listen, the last year we've gone through it. We have gone through it. Oh my goodness, we've gone through it. Life turned upside down. Curveballs, attacks. Who created the chaos? Who created all of that? Now listen, God created it to raise up something in me, the man of the household, to say, peace be still. Amen? God created that to give me the opportunity to have the authority that was given to me, the dominion, for me to say, stop, enough is enough. For me to look into the darkness and say, let there be light. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. You've been given dominion. Think about God and how amazing God is. I've been traveling a ton lately. Every week I'm in a different state. 5-state circle. And I drive a lot, sometimes early in the morning and sometimes late in the evening, and I get to watch these sunrises and the sunsets.
Yeah.
I get to drive through thunderstorms. Friday I was driving out of the northwest side of Chicago at rush hour. Lord Jesus, help me. That'll test your salvation, won't it? Yeah. Usually our ride, I had my brother-in-law with me. The ride is nice and peaceful. We kick on cruise control. All of a sudden it was, man, I'm going to see what this truck's got. And we got to get across 4 lanes to get over to this thing. And we got all this traffic. It's like, hold on, Jeff, we're going, man. Whoa. Boy, when those nice, peaceful times, and that's the way I like it, is cruise control, and we're just cruising home.
Yeah.
To look up at that sky. And I see this beautiful masterpiece, and the saying that I like to say in my heart is, God is an amazing artist, isn't He? When we look at creation, we know that the earth, the creation, us, we're the paint. He's the painter. Amen? He's the one that formed you. He's the one that designed you. He's the one that put all of this together. And to know when we tap into the power, the revelation, the dominion that He's given us. Hallelujah. We can begin to paint our own picture. Amen? We have to begin to expel victim mentality. The chaos comes, the struggle comes, this, that. And we say, woe is me. Oh man, that's my luck. This is my lot. Whatever it is. And we've got to be able to look at that. And see this color and this color and this color. And begin to take our paintbrush and listen. This is how God painted the sky. He spoke. Amen. He's a star-breathing God. You need to begin to speak to your situation. Amen. And speak to those things that are not as though they were. Praise the Lord. You have questions. I have questions. That means you have darkness and I have darkness. You have aimless wandering, I have aimless wandering. Amen? The question is what are you going to do with it? God began to bring order. Bringing order to the chaos is the calling that you have. Now hear this, I'll share a couple of scriptures to pull it together. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Sin, it says that sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, so that death spread to all men. But verse 18 says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Do you know that one act of righteousness can lead to justification? What are you called to be like? You're a Christian, right? That means we're called to be like Christ. Jesus did an amazing amount of things when He hung on Calvary. But one of the most important is that He brought justification to sin. Amen? Justification to mankind, redemption from sin. You're not a victim. Your circumstances don't dictate to you what life will look like. You've been given dominion. Look at your neighbor and say, you have a voice. If you're called to be like Christ, I want to apply this scripture to you. Hear this. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life. One act of righteousness can change, can deliver, can heal, can set free. Romans chapter 1 is an interesting text. In verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Don't you love that scripture? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The gospel has the revelation power, the illuminating power to answer your questions. Verse 18 goes on to say, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Now we know the sinner has a more complex problem. Not only do they have the darkness and the aimless wandering, the chaos, but they've taken the truth and placed it under the chaos, and now the darkness is the place from which they make decisions and live their life. But the truth of God is inside of every man, and the sinner has suppressed the truth. But when we allow Christ into that place of our souls, the truth is released. Amen? We no longer suppress the truth. I want to challenge you in a dominion that God's given you to be able to speak to the sinner. Amen?
Amen?
To speak through the darkness into the truth that's on the inside of them and release the truth. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you this, the truth is in you. The truth is in you. Praise the Lord. Years ago, I studied righteousness. I had an inkling on the inside of me to really know what that meant. It's one of those church words that we throw around. He's righteous. We're to be righteous. Amen. You know what God simplified it to for me? Two-part meaning. Right standing with God. Right alignment with God. That means proper order. Proper order, righteousness, right standing. In order to have right alignment and right standing, I can't major in the minors or minor in the majors. God has given us a blueprint, and I believe that the restoration of the church is getting us back to the original design, the original intent for mankind. And that's on us. That's on you and me to get back to the original blueprint. It's not about religion. It's not about doctrine. It's not about denomination. Amen? It's about proper order. And I'm going to give it to you. People get these out of order very easy. I know I'm guilty. And I could say this. If I had one sermon to preach, it would be this, what I'm about to give you. The very first calling and aspiration of your life and of your soul as a believer is sonship. Amen? That is the major thing. Let's get things in proper order. Number one is your sonship to the Father. That everything else comes under that. Nothing comes between me and my God. Amen? Number one is sonship. Number two is your home. That's broken into two parts. First, your spouse. Then your children. After that, your vocation. Can I say that all of that is ministry? Amen? And so I'll say number four is serving in the local assembly, serving with your calling outside of sonship, outside of home, outside of vocation, now you have ministry. Amen? And I want you to hear me proper, because we're all ministers. We're all in ministry constantly. God's really been changing my heart and changing my mind on some things, and even things that I've known ideologically and theologically. I've known these things, but God has turned my life upside down for me to take a fresh look and to begin to practice them different. Number one is sonship, and number two is home. As a pastor and as an A-type individual, very driven, very task-oriented. Amen? Anyone like that? Task-oriented and driven? A couple of you. Okay. Everyone else, you're the ones that we step on to get to the goal. We don't do it intentionally. It's like we're just, you know, laser-focused. Oh, so guilty of that. Really reel it in. You know? Really reel it in. But boy, ministry, I wouldn't have said that it did, but I look back and I go, ministry took a place that was higher than my family. Isn't that bad? Getting those calls. Boy, we work with drug addicts and alcoholics. I get calls at 3 a.m. This, that, and the other thing. And feeling the pressure. Can I say the work of a minister is never done? Ever? Ever done? Am I willing to sacrifice time with my family to go do ministry? Am I spending more time at the church than I am with the family? With my wife, am I making more investments in ministry than I am my own family? This is what God's brought to me. The same doctrines, the same theology, the same practice that I want to see in the local church, I don't have the right to release in the local church until I first release it in my home. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm talking about basic things, revival. How dare I stand in the church and pray for revival and preach revival when I'm not at home? Amen? Preaching revival, releasing revival. Amen? Forgiveness. It's good to get honest with yourself, isn't it? Yeah. Forgiveness. We get all religious on Sundays. We talk about forgiveness. Another brother or sister in the faith. Oh, it's no problem. I forgive you. It's no problem. But somehow you get in the vehicle to get home, or you get home, and then you get short with the kids. You're like, just sit down and be quiet. What? That didn't sound very forgiving and merciful. Amen? God challenges me with this regularly. Am I releasing, am I putting on a Sunday face over here, and then the true me is at home? Amen? You know what I want to be? I want to be in right standing all the time. I want to be releasing peace all the time, releasing revival all the time. Amen? Because the true you is who you are when nobody else is looking. Not who you are on Sunday morning. One of the things I've experienced over the years is ministering to two different people. I first get to minister to the person that they show me on Sunday. And then I minister to them long enough, and all of a sudden we get in this counseling thing or whatever's going on, and then this whole other side of them comes out, and I'm like, who is this guy? I've never met him before, but he's really nasty. You know what I mean? Like I haven't met her before. Or they leave the church, and then Facebook starts up. Have you guys seen this? Or the phone calls, or you hear the rumors, and I'm going, who is that person? We only loved you for 8 years and poured it, and now what's going on? Right? There's a whole other side. I believe that we minister one to another. It's not just about pastors ministering to lay people. You know, lay people isn't even in Scripture, right? We're all ministers. We submit ourselves one to another, that I'm learning from you and you're learning from me, and revelation kind of goes both ways because we're both children of the light. Amen? I don't want you ministering to a Sunday version of me. Here I am. Like it, don't like it. Good, bad, the ugly. That was quite a show, wasn't it? The good, the bad, the ugly. Being true and being real and being authentic means that you're you all the time. I want you to do this activation with me. I want you to hold your hands out in front of you and make a bowl. We're all going to close our eyes together, and I want you to begin to place the Sunday version of you in that bowl. All of the attributes that you have. How extra nice you are. How extra forgiving. The religious form of you. And I want you just to hand that up to the Father when you've got it full. And I want you to visualize what God is doing with those things in that bowl. And after the bowl is empty, I want you to bring it back down to your chest. And I want you to put the real you in there. The good, the bad, and the ugly. That secret sin that you don't want anybody else to know about. Those outbursts, those thoughts, those emotions. That's the real you. I want you to begin to offer that to the Father. And offer that to your brothers and sisters in the faith. Open your eyes with me. Have you guys traveled to other churches over the years, either as a guest or been a part of another assembly? One of the things God's privileged me to do is to speak in hundreds of different churches. And I get to experience the spiritual climate when I walk into the churches. You ever been in those churches and the people are really nice, but there's something not quite real? You know what I'm talking about? The worship was good, but it wasn't quite deep. It wasn't There's just something wasn't there. I mean, musically it was okay, but something was missing. And you heard the pastor preach, and it was like, it was good, but it just didn't really get you. And then the other side is when I walk into a ministry, and boy, it's just this depth and this reality. It's reality of God. It's because those people are real. Amen? They're real. They're deep. They've worked through some things. They're transparent. They're open. Do you know that God is open and transparent to you? And you're to be open and transparent. Now listen, I'm not saying go air your dirty laundry all over the place and be foolish about it. But I just say be you. Be real. Be the real version of you all the time. And if you're going through something, and somebody asks you how you are, don't say good or nice. You know that's a version of lying. It's not even a version of lying. That's lying. I used to do that as a senior pastor. I'd be going through it. Oh, my goodness. Years ago, our marriage, we were struggling, finances and all this stuff. And I had the worst morning ever. And that's when the enemy likes to stir things up, right? And we'd fight all the way to church. Golly, I mean, it was just this thing. And then I'd get there and have to put on Sunday face. And there's some wisdom that you don't want to just air your dirty laundry, but at the same time, people are asking me, "No, oh, how are you, Pastor? Oh, I'm fine, I'm good." On the inside, I'm broken, I'm hurt, I'm scared. Amen? Tell the truth. Oh my goodness, Apostle, the truth shall set us free. The truth will set you free. And you know what? Sometimes, oh man, I'm thinking of movies. Why am I in one? The truth, you can't handle the truth. Sometimes people can't handle the truth. Amen? And listen to what I don't want to be as a pastor. I don't want to be ministering to people that can't handle truth. What if they ask me and I go, "Man, I'm having one of the worst mornings ever. I don't need to give all the dirty details. Man, I'm not doing good. I'm hurt. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to push through, and I feel like God wants me to preach anyways. Amen? What about sharing the truth? What about being real? That, hey, I'm going through it. I lost my job. I'm having a bad week. I know I'm scared of this, that I'm going through that. I'm not doing that good. But you know what? I'm going to keep muscling through. I'm going to keep, because I believe in the power of Christ. Amen? Amen? What if you told the truth? Praise the Lord. I'm just preaching. Is that okay?
Yep.
Sometimes I don't know why I bring notes. Majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. I used to call this type of idea first ministry, because we used to say your first ministry is your home. Your first ministry is your spouse and your children. But it's not. It's really your second ministry. Your first ministry is sonship to the Father. The first place that you minister each day is to the Father as son or daughter. Father, how can I serve you today? Father, what are we up to today? Lord, I just want to do whatever you want me to do. To serve God constantly. I think about Scripture in the New Testament. I think, what is there, 7 Greek tenses? And there's a lot of words that our English language doesn't have the words for, because we only have 3 tenses. But there are a lot of words that have this mentality. The tense of it is that it's present tense, but it's also moving towards the future. Amen? And then there's a present tense that means we're still kind of holding on to the back, but it's present. The Scripture that says pray without ceasing, it's an ever-present prayer. That doesn't mean that I sit here at the altar and pray without ceasing. It means my lifestyle, my disposition, my mentality is prayer. Amen? Pray without ceasing. When you're talking about the word agape, a lot of times that's an ever constant love unconditionally. Amen? Sonship is number one. It's the disposition of my soul. It's the mentality of my heart, is that I serve Him. I love Him. He's number one. But my second ministry is my home. To my spouse first, then my children. We see this out of order all the time with the unhealthy mentality where one spouse will put the children before the other spouse. You guys ever seen that?
Yeah.
Or done that?
Yeah.
It's got to be an order. Spouse first, then children. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Try that one on for size. Men, raise your hands. Keep your hand up if you're a husband. We have some husbands in here. You can put your hands down. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now that's a past tense. I used to put that in a present tense mentality until I started studying the Greek tenses. I used to think of it this way. That I'm to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Loves the church. What does Christ do for the church? Provides for the church. Feeds the church. Now think about it like right now. What's Christ do for the church, for the assembly? And that's not what that scripture means. What that scripture is in reference to is past tense. What Christ did for the church. He was beaten. He was smitten, he was stricken, his beard was ripped out of his face, he was spat at. He was nailed to a tree that he created. And what did he say when he hung there? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love your wife like Christ. Love the church. Well, that'll wreck you, won't it? That'll wreck you. That means you got to be strong. And really, what Christ was strong and silent in that time. He wasn't hurling insults and saying, oh, you guys are going to have yours. You wait till my father finds out. He wasn't trying to plead his case and make himself right and make himself known. He just hung there. Forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. He took it. Years ago, we had a young lady that lived in our home. She was 15 at the time, and boy, she was going through some major struggles in life. And I remember she'd get so mad at me because we had standards. We had Christian standards for our home that she wasn't used to. And one of those standards is you're not smoking cigarettes on my front porch, right? And she'd get so mad at me. I'd go out and, nope, we can't do that here. And she'd get so mad she'd hit me. And her little 15-year-old self, you know, girls hit sometimes. She'd be doing this stuff, whacking me. And she was actually strong. She was a little thing, but she'd just whack me. And what did I do? I step back and be like, girl, you better hold. No. I said, come on, bear hug her. I'd hold her close until she'd settle down. Right? And I'd love on her and encourage her. You know, verbally, a lot of times those things are happening in marriage. Those insults or those things, those short, those, don't they hurt? Like somebody hitting you? Man, do you know what you're called to do? Husband, you're called to just stand there and take it. And I'm not saying it's right for her to give it. Amen? Can I speak to marriage for a minute? But you don't need to plead your case. You don't need to be right. You don't need to be the one that's proving your point. You just got to take it. As Christ loved the church, he was beaten, he was smitten, he was stricken. Nailed to a tree that he created. What held Christ to the cross? It wasn't nails, it was love. I'll stay here in this fight with you. I'm not going to get mad and storm off and peel my tires in the parking lot. Anyone ever done that? Tell the truth in church. I know you guys have done it. Yeah, there we go. A couple hands up. Isn't that a real proud moment? Peel out of the driveway. Barely even get that thing to squeal the tires, but you do it anyways. Real good Christian husband. Yeah. Love. Your first ministry is sonship. Your second ministry is to your spouse. Your third ministry is to your children. You guys see our children. They're still fairly young. And one of the things that we're working on now is the Matthew 18 principle. What do children like to do? They like to come, Dad, so-and-so took my thing, blah, 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 and all this stuff. You guys know that. Yeah. You know what we start doing? I'm not going to say, hey, so-and-so, you got to give the thing back. I say, honey, what I want you to do is I want you to go talk to him. I want you to go talk to her. Tell them how that made you feel. Matthew 18, go to them first. Don't bring it to the elders of the church. Right? I'm the elders of my home. Amen? Yeah. My wife and I, we're the elders of the church. So go work it out. Go deal with it. And if you guys can't work it out, come talk to me. I'll sort it out for you. Amen? Pastor my own home. Husbands and wives, moms and dads, you need to pastor your own home. I've never been more discouraged about family as walking through Walmart. Amen? We joke about it sometimes, but it is no joke. I have watched little kids dictate to the parents what they're going to get, when they're going to get it, how they're going to get it, and if they don't, they're going to be on that floor throwing their little tantrum. Boy, I don't believe in beating kids, but I'd grab that little kid by his arm, we'd be going to the bathroom. Amen? We'd be getting it straightened out because you are not the ruler of this home. Amen? You do not dictate to mom and dad. And I'll put that in context. How dare us dictate to God what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it? You're God. What do you want to do? When do you want to do it? And I'm all in. I'll go with you. Led by the Spirit. Amen? Pastor your home. You're all ministers of the faith. Now, number three, after the home is your vocation. Never let your work come in front of your wife and children. Amen? Never let it come in front of your sonship. That's out of order. And it creates chaos. Amen? You got to have biblical order and ministry. A lot of people don't like that ministry is number four. But it's, again, we're all in ministry all the time. Sonship is ministry. My home is ministry. My vocation is ministry. But I want to put it in context like this. If I have a job and I'm working 40 hours, what I'm not going to do is skip work one day to come participate in a church meeting regularly. Does that make sense? Because I have a job. I have to make sure that I'm responsible. Now I can put in for a vacation day. I can do this. I can do that. And here's the thing. My vocation shouldn't come in front of my church family. Amen? We lost some people over the years because they had a new job and they had to work every Sunday. And I go, boy, as a pastor, I work every Sunday, but it's different. But I don't think I could have a job that would put me out of church. Now listen, if I have a trip, business trip or something like that, and I miss a week, totally understandable. But you don't take a job that separates you from the fellowship of believers. Amen? You've got to have good biblical order. Your third is ministry, serving in the church. Don't put that above your job. Don't put that above your family. Don't put that above sonship. There was one season in my life that I got so busy serving God that I forgot to be a son of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, I just want to serve you. I want to serve you well. I want to be in right order. I want to be who I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do. And I know that you're blessing us, Father. Thank you, Jesus, because our heart, our aspiration is to be good sons and daughters and to serve you well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Father today is challenging you to take a look at the order of your life, challenging you to maybe shift some things and change some things. And you know what? Maybe life has shifted and brought you to a place in the last several months to make you look at those things a little bit clearer. You know, people are home a lot more than what they ever have been. Do you know that domestic violence is up record amounts, the calls for domestic violence in America? Because husbands and wives don't know how to be at home with each other. Filings for divorce are at an all-time record high in America. Isn't that amazing? When you're busy and out and going, you can forget about the struggles and the troubles for a little while. But who are you when you're home and nobody else is looking? What does your marriage look like when you're home and it's just you two and you're stuck there for a while? Anyone ever done avoidance marriage therapy? You guys ever done that? Oh, I'm just tired of him. I'm just tired of her. I'm going to go out and do this and shop and do whatever you do. It doesn't fix anything. You're just avoiding the problem. You got to get home. You got to spend time. And I believe God's been shifting some things intentionally. I believe that, again, I don't put much credit on the devil. I think he's a dork. Don't you guys think he's a dork? Doesn't he realize that he already lost? Did you guys read the end too?
Yeah.
He already lost. Yeah. He's a dork. Yeah. Like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
I don't credit him. All the stuff. Just like in the creation account, God created the darkness first and then spoke light. I believe what you're experiencing is an intentional ploy from the Father. Amen? It's not a setback, it's a setup. And God is positioning you. God's been changing my mind and changing my heart in this last season. I've been doing less official full-time ministry. I've been working construction and working doing all these other things. And you know what I'm finding? The real me is coming out. When I'm out there, I'm not Pastor Ben. I'm just Ben. Amen? I encounter people every day. They don't know if I'm a believer or not a believer until I interact with them. I believe God's shifting some things in our America, in our life, to get the real version of you, the real version of the church to come to the surface. No more religion. Amen?
Amen.
Can we just expel religion from the assembly? Hallelujah. No more majoring in the minors of all these theologies and doctrines and things that separate. You know what? I've looked at them. I've looked at this doctrine and this doctrine. And you know what? I can say, yeah, I agree. And I look at this one and I go, yeah, I agree. Not fully. There's a couple of things that each camp goes a little too far on, but I think this is the truth. Amen? God is bringing into focus truth and reality. And I believe it is a setup for the greatest revival that America has ever experienced, maybe the world has ever experienced. I believe it's all a setup. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet with me. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. The series I preached years ago called The Tale of Two Gardens. It's about the garden of Adam and Eve connecting with the garden of Gethsemane. And do you know, to reverse the curse of the curse of sin in the garden of Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, it had to take another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. When Christ sweat great drops of blood. Amen? I believe that in order for you to reverse those things in your life, you've got to go through that deep place, that real place of lamenting yourself. And if that's a new word to you, this is your homework assignment. Go study lamenting yourself before the Father. Amen? You got to rend your spirit, rend your soul before the Father. Get dead honest and dead real. Some of the best conversations with the Father I've ever had. When I just go out into the woods. I'm a country boy. I go out in the woods and I yell and I scream and I cry and I leave there feeling great. Amen? I drive around in an automobile out in the country and I just cry and scream. Rend your spirit before the Lord. Amen? Get yourself to the Garden of Gethsemane so that you can make it through Calvary. Amen? You can reverse the curse. You can reverse the darkness. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we submit ourselves to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord above all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we're thankful that there is no thing outside of your dominion, but God, you are Lord of all. Praise you, Jesus. And Father, the dominion that you've given to us, Father, we take that authority and we exercise it in our life. Praise you, Jesus. And Father, in this season, we'll be more real with you than we ever have. We'll be more honest. We'll be deep. We'll be rich. Thank you, Lord. Father, we refuse to be fake. Thank you, Lord. Saints, would you just say that? Say, I refuse to be fake. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But Father, I pray and ask for the real version of me. The real version of us to be on display. With all the hurts, all the hang-ups, all the struggles, with all the victories, all the joys, all the revelations, all the wisdoms, all the impartations, all of it on display. Thank you, Lord, that people, Father, would stop seeing the fake version of Christianity, that they would see you, the real version of Yahweh, Elohim, and Adonai. The real version of you, Father, would shine through our lives. The real victories would be evident for all to see. Praise you, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for proper alignment. God, that first and foremost, we're your sons and daughters. And we minister to you. Father, we thank you, God, that a close second is ministering to our home and to our family. Pastoring our own homes, releasing revival and healing and forgiveness and mercy and truth and revelation into our marriages and into our families, Lord. Praise you, God. Lord, I pray, God, that where we work, our vocation, that we will be a light shining in a dark place. God, that many salvations, Lord, will be a result of our presence. Healing will penetrate our America Because of the agape love that we release through the land. Because of the revelation and the peace that we release through the land. Father, I thank you, Lord, for our local assemblies. And may we serve them well. May we be dedicated and devout to the body of believers that you've called us to, Lord. And our gifts and our talents and our abilities, our anointings and our grace. Praise you, Lord. Father, anything that doesn't fall in that lineup, we just remove it now in Jesus' name. Those things that would distract, those things that would detour. And Lord, today we leave this house realigned. Realigned in proper alignment, in right standing, in righteousness, in truth, in humility, in love. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And all of God's people that agreed said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, church.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Amen. You may be seated. As Pastor Ben was talking, you can. There's a witness that our passions are the same. From the very beginning, Leonard and I, when we planted the church, we have said we are real people with real problems who serve a real God who can solve them. We grew up in religion. We knew how to put on the show. We knew how to manipulate people with songs and get them emotionally involved. But you know what? Nothing changed for them. Because we need a relationship, the sonship with our Heavenly Father. And so I so appreciate this message that he brought this morning. So let's give the Lord another thanks for that. Hallelujah.